This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
Howard Bloom had done some very interesting work. He's done a lot of interesting reporting on this case. He's written the book, and he's also continued to write about it in many articles. Airmail, he's had some very interesting ones as of late, and we've talked about that on the show a bit. And he was speaking about Dr. Catherine Ramsland, who we've had on the show as well. Very respected criminal psychologist. She's one of the best in the world at this, and the utmost respect there. His theory was that maybe Koberger was doing this in a weird, sick way to try and impress her, to be the bigger person in the room, even than her, because that seems to be what Koberger liked to do on what he perceived as kind of a psychological level. He also had said stuff in there about that Catherine had some sort of contact with the family. Catherine has responded to that, actually, directly to us.
Oh, wow.
And let me read her writing here. In fact, I got to turn around because I can't see it very well on that screen over there. I heard your podcast. I have recently made a statement in response to Bloom's allegations because it's not about Koberger. It's about me. I had no email correspondence with Brian Koberger while he was at WSU. He has not been in touch with me since his arrest. I called his parents as a gesture of kindness, but I do not advise them about the case. I did not call them hours after the arrest, as Bloom claims. I have never talked to his sister about any book. I did not broker anything regarding a lawyer. I have not been invited by the Kobergers to Idaho. I don't know where they'll be staying. I don't know who Bloom's source is or why he reports information for which he has no proof. So I let her know, hey, you know, I'm going to put this out there a lot in the future about this, to hear her side of this against Bloom's allegations that were made. He has since apologized as well, and at least kind of clarified on his own Twitter about it, and saying, okay, well, this is a theory, so to speak. And okay, take all the parts out of that where he was, or she was, he was talking about her having communication. He's said, okay, you know, I believe you. That was, you know, my wrong, whatever.
I like this though. I mean, that's really consistent with what you'd expect from someone of her position, of her background, of her relationship with him. That looks very, again, we're always looking for congruency and anything that spikes out, that looked really congruent. But I still like Howard's theory that he did this for her, but not in that way in which I think he initially intended it, or at least we consumed it. I still kind of go with the undercurrent of, you know, remember, people that are high on narcissism, psychopathy, it's all about grandiosity. And the idea that he had a connection with her or liked her focus, liked what she did, was impressed by her, the grandiosity by her accolades. Like you said, she's world renowned. So what better grandiosity than to be the study of his favorite professor and someone of this notoriety. So I really liked, I think, again, it's never just one thing, but I think that makes reasonable sense to me that someone of, who, again, if it's him or someone like him, would be going for that kind of notoriety from someone like her, not because she's going to say, oh my God, this is the best ever. No, because she's going to study him.
Yeah.
Because remember, part of what he's trying to do is trying to figure out who he is and why he is like he is. What better person to try to figure out that than her?
Yeah.
And so if he can do something to get her attention as a case study, will that not help him to understand who he is a bit better?
He would be infamous. He would live in infamy.
Infamous with the greatest of grandiosity. And he could continue to contribute by killing even more.
He could, and he could eventually end up teaching about himself.
Yes.
Without anybody knowing it. And it seems like, I mean, on the surface, a bit of a stretch, but when you, if you've been looking at this case as closely as we have been for 3 years, it makes sense. And at the beginning, one of the things I said, and I it didn't make a lot of sense, but I kind of felt it, was why did he do this? You know, was it because, you know, he was jealous of the lifestyle of these kids, that he couldn't get the girls? Like, could that be contributing factors? You know, I could see some of that in there. Certainly, I think that that's part of it. But I do think what I've always felt on this is he did it because he wanted the experience. because he values education. He values expertise in this area and the rush.
A response.
But at the end of the day, it's not necessarily he gets, I think, more of a rush of being that character. Because he got rushes, I think, from looking at these characters, like the Bundys and all of this.
Yeah.
And if he could become that character, maybe if he becomes that character, the people he looks up to and he's better than, then he can feel good about himself.
Yes, that's what I think the pursuit here is with most of these people. And whenever anyone comes out, so you got Howard Bloom and other people that have done deep dives on this. When anyone that does that kind of deep dive research says something, I always pay attention because there's something there.
Yeah,
and so in my mind, it's like, how do we take that little glimmer he's got of something here and actually kind of try to make it fit? And that's how I think we do this here, because I don't think it should be dismissed. I just don't think it was the original potential way that we took it. Is like, oh, he's trying to impress her. Nah, I think he's trying to get her. I think he was using her as a tool, like all psychopaths do. She was going to be a tool to allow him to be better,
mm-hmm.
be what he wants to be.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was like sexually motivated or anything like that towards Catherine. I do think there was certainly a sexual motivation towards the girls, or one of the girls at least,
I'd say that, because that's what psychopaths do.
Yeah. So I think that was there.
Serial killers, I should say. Serial killers.
Plus he had a penchant. I mean, from the Dateline reporting and the pictures that we saw that they reported on, there was a certain characteristic of all of those women that he put on his phone. It seemed to be consistent in all of them. And also consistent, in the victims, as well. One could say, well, he's a guy. I'm like, yeah, to a certain extent, but you know, I don't know a lot of guys that are doing this the way he was. You know, it was a very backwards ass way of, I mean, he's like taking pictures from other people's Facebook pages and stuff and putting them on his phone. And like, there's plenty of places if you want to find pretty looking ladies without like creepily stalking-ish people that you are surrounded by in real life. That seems creepy. But again, it speaks to a lot of elements that will probably never make it into the court conversation, but it does make sense when you look at the character and the grandiosity. Another piece of this that we've talked about many times, but again, with this context, makes it make a little more sense. That would be the Papa Rogers online persona, which really seems to be a nod to Elliot Rogers, the incel that killed all those people.
Right.
And then the fact that his profile picture looks exactly like Brian Koberger before anybody knew who Brian Koberger was. And the Papa Rogers profile also tweeted out things that had absolutely no public knowledge about the knife sheath, about some of the possible thought processes that were going on at the time. So he was really into the cat and mouse game. I think he was going to try and play that for longer. But I think the walls started closing in, and that's why he's
and part of this too is experimentation to see what works for him, you know, and so see where he's getting the rush. If this doesn't work, we'll try something else, because serial killers evolve, you know, into, you know, who they become. To get what they, you know, for the fantasy they need to have. And so part of that process is, you know, dabbling in different areas to see if this works, to see if this works, to see if this works. And I think he was on his most recent iteration was what he did. Again, if guilty.
He's so stoic in court. You know, you get no emotion out of him whatsoever, no matter what is being talked about. I mean, that just may be, you know, his attorney said, don't show emotion. I don't know the answer to that, but maybe she did. And maybe he's very good at following the rules and those sort of rules, very, you know, like academic type rules. And that's just what he's doing. But I mean, what is that say to you about any of this? I mean, does it say anything at all that he's being so stoic? Is he sitting there? Is he rationalizing this behavior? Is he thinking that, you know, well, they had it coming, he's in the right? I mean, let's assume he did it. What the hell do you think is going on in his mind in court?
I literally just think he's taking in data. I mean, that's all he's doing. I don't think he's having an emotional response. If I didn't do it, I did do it. You know, they're wrong. You know, they had it coming. I don't think any of that's going through his head. I think what's going through his head is, you know, work the problem. You know, he's a problem worker.
Yeah.
And his problem that he was working was him and his need for this rush. And this is the solution he came up with. I mean, so I just think he's working that problem by taking in more data, by taking in the environment, taking in what's going on. And as for lack of emotion, whether he's getting direction or not, I mean, is there really an emotion he could exhibit that you think would be appropriate?
I don't know the answer to that because you know what I mean? You don't want to show guilt. You don't want to show like, but I guess, but what, I mean, would, if you want to be found, like? I don't know. But I think if there is one appropriate emotion, if you want to be found innocent in this, would be horror, would be empathy, would be
incapable.
Like, oh my God, you know, and just
he's incapable.
Yes, you're exactly right. Koberger is kind of like AI. He's like the human yes. version of AI, where it's if AI were to be transplanted into a human being, Brian Koberger would be it. The empathy element isn't there, although I think AI can pretend to know empathy better than he can.
I think my AI talks better than he does.
Yes, yes. But it really isn't. It's just very data-driven. And right. sometimes the data in AI, it produces something where it thinks it's just 1,000% on, and it'll give you a bunch of reasons why, and you go, wait a second, look at this. I was like, right. ooh, I apologize for that. And it just completely misses it. And right. I think someone with Koberger's line of thinking is a lot like that, can bring up far more points than the average human being could into how you can be successful at this task. But at the same point, there's going to be some sort of hiccup in there. There's going to be some sort of delusion or illusion in there that doesn't make sense to the rest of it, but somehow in his mind just came up because the empathy doesn't exist. And then that gets slipped in and it throws the whole thing to hell, which is, I think, what it pretty much happened here.
Agreed.
It's a creepy story. There's a lot to come. The judge also not very happy with Dateline on this. You know, they're doing their reporting. They got a source. I mean, just like, you know, government officials have sources, reporters have sources, everybody's got sources. That's how we end up finding out information. But he's not happy. He is diving deep into this. Putting an order in that everybody needs to preserve anything on their phones as of right now who had anything to do with this case because he wants to find that leak because what came out in Dateline was not supposed to be coming out before court. So some big pieces there. Makes you wonder what other big pieces are going to come out that the source hasn't.
Him too, because I mean, I think from the very beginning, he's doing all he can to mitigate any potential appeals, which we know are going to happen. So
yeah.
He's doing the best he can on that, and that plays into it.
Certainly does. There's certainly a lot more to come, and the trial is literally, we're almost to June. What do we got here? Wow, we're like 2 months away.
Finally.
This is going to be fascinating.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.